Welcome back, Houston. It's the Killer Bees, Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I'm still working on this JBRM brisket. It's fantastic. Make sure you swing on by whenever. They have a smokehouse social hour 4 to 7 p.m., world-class barbecue and wood-fired steaks every day but Monday. I mean, think about that. Wood-fired steaks. You looking for dinner plans? JBRM. Our street team's going to be there on Friday as well. They brought us some beef brisket to die for, jalapeno cheddar sausage, incredible, house-made potato salad, green beans with bacon, all very, very good sides as well. JBRM is elite. Make sure you swing on by Edo. They have a full parking lot, too. I know a lot of you are very hesitant to head to downtown. You're hesitant to head out to Edo because you're like, where am I going to park? I don't want to get a ticket. I don't want to get towed. They have a full parking lot at JBRM. Little subtle special thing that they have there at JBRM. All right, so Robert Horry was on the SJAX Matt Barnes podcast. I've heard him say this before, but I guess it was recent again with Robert Horry on with these guys. He's played with Shaq. He's played with Duncan. He's played with Dream. Here was Robert Horry on how he orders those three.
All the other teams I played for, the one common denominator was great big men.
Uh-huh.
You know, think about Shaq, Tim Duncan. Mm-hmm. And if you said right now, name the top five big men, I play with three of them.
Yeah. Who's who? You play with three of them?
Well, Dream's number one by far. Okay. We don't like to talk. Nobody wants to talk about it. I think you have these guys who are quiet. Mm-hmm. Think about it. Dream, you know, he's a really quiet guy. You can't get him to do much, to say much. So we kind of veer away from him. Mm. We don't talk about him. But to me, if you look at what he put together, you know, defensive player of the year, MVP in one season, all-time leading shot blocker.
So there you go. Or he's a pro Olajuwon guy whenever you're looking at some of the best big men he's ever played with.
To me, it comes down to Dream always kind of gets brushed aside because there's a lack of appreciation for both ends of the floor and all the things that he did. I mean, we know Shaq is one of the most physically dominant big men, if not the most physically dominant big man we've ever seen. That's just size, and size matters. But when you talk about the athleticism of Dream, because Duncan,
cut that, Joe.
Duncan, in terms of the discussions about power forward versus big man, and obviously we know he was the big fundamental. But when you talk about the physicality, Dream would take Shaq, and he would guard Shaq in the finals in 95. And Shaq would say, you know, best center I ever guarded and had to defend because of the way Dream would get him into foul trouble and put him on his heels, and he never knew which way he was going. And you talk about a guy that was, you know, how many times he was defensive player of the year, and how many times offensively we said he looked like a gazelle out there. Like, he could get up and down the floor. He would glide. He would stride into shots. He could get everything from the elbow. He could hit a three. He could go out to the post, and he could spin you into oblivion just by doing whatever he felt like you were at his mercy. Shaq was just so physically big and dominant. He didn't have those big offensive moves. He was a bulldozer. And Duncan was a finesse guy. Dream was the best of both worlds because he could play physical. He could play defense for sure. But then offensively, he could play multiple positions because of how athletic he was and what a good touch he had.
Yeah, for me, it's Olajuwon. Now, I'm super biased because I've lived in Houston my entire life. I like what Polillo used to say about it. He called him the most uniquely diverse big man in NBA history.
It's true.
Like, he did things that guys usually, or his size, can't do. Like, I think he was also ahead of his time.
Like, oh, for sure.
Like, because he had a great face-up game. I know we like, talk a lot about the Dream Shake, but look how often he would face up and, like, literally blow by the defense. He's athletic enough where he would have been able to switch on every pick and roll and defend even the smaller guys. I think he would have been world-class, like, now. I think he would have been unbelievable now.
And then you think about all of the awards he won defensively and how many accolades he got from shot blocking to all defensive teams. But think about now when he could guard almost every guy on the floor. When they're going to smaller lineups and most centers become obsolete because they can't move their feet and they can't stay in front of guys, Dream had the foot speed to be able to guard 1-4, 1-5. He could guard power forwards. He could guard stretch fours because of the fact that he was nimble and athletic enough to move his feet and stay in front, and he could recover with his reach and his athleticism. He'd fit in today's game so well because, again, you couldn't barely touch him. Now he's really going to put you in the popcorn machine whenever he felt like it.
Dick Willie saying that he was a soccer player, so his agility more like Giannis. He was unbelievable.
I think he's more agile than Giannis.
You think he's more agile than Giannis?
I really do. When you think about, and I
maybe
you know,
not the handle. His handle's pretty good, though, for a big man.
I go back to all the different workouts, and when we get a new player, we get even Clint Capella and the guys that would be in awe. But Dream would start working with them on, you know, first of all, like you said, how to use your body to protect the ball where you can bring it up the court, even if you're a big man. Then he would start talking about the low post, and it wouldn't even start with footwork. First, it would start with the head and shoulder fake that can create enough space to where you can decide which direction you want to go, and you can get a shot off whenever you want. Then it would get into the footwork and how you use that in unison to really put a defender at your mercy. And to see the wide eyes of these guys go, wow, I never even thought about that, or I never even thought that was possible. And then you saw him still be able to do it when they'd play one-on-one, or he'd say, guard me and I'll show you what I mean. And the guy's jaws would drop going, he's 40-some years old and he could still do this. I remember working out with Dwight, watching the workouts with him and Dwight. And McHale had made sure that that happened. And Dwight would downplay it every day. And we finally said one day, watching him do that for 2.5 hours, he could still play in this league and get 10-5. And Dwight was like, maybe 5-2. It's like, Dwight, don't be mad because he's still that good. Be happy that he's trying to teach you how to get better. Because Dream, he kept himself in phenomenal condition. He's and Dick Lilly's right. His soccer and abilities that he had on the basketball court were kind of a spinoff because of how he played other sports and got all that muscle memory and the different skill sets that those sports brought, and he brought it all to the table in basketball.
Ojo says Dream is the best center of all time. Don't come at me with Kareem, Wilt, or any other. Dream was better. I love Dream. I always say that Wilt Chamberlain has the best like statistical resume of all time.
He played in an era, too, where there weren't many big guys.
No, it was like he, Bill Russell, and a bunch of stiffs.
Right.
Bunch of plumbers,
right.
Bunch of people who work construction in the offseason.
Yeah.
Dick Willie's giving me all these Akeem Olajuwon stats that I'm well aware of because go Cougs. But look, Ori playing with them those guys, I think gives his opinion
more
like credibility than ours. And I know that you were there and you watched Olajuwon and like his career. We certainly watched Olajuwon in this city much closer than we watched Tim Duncan or Shaquille O'Neal because he was the guy in our city, was winning an MVP in this city, was winning back-to-back championships in this city. Shaquille O'Neal. I mean, you can put his numbers alongside Dream's. Tim Duncan's numbers you can put alongside Dream's. But when it comes from just like a skilled perspective, I can't put Shaq because he was just a bulldozer.
Right.
Like Shaq got his because he was a bully, yeah. Which no. I mean, that's fine. Like I'm not the taking same way anything
Wilt
away from Shaq.
Came at a time when he capitalized on being the tallest guy with not many big guys.
Mm-hmm.
Shaq was the biggest, strongest, widest guy with not many guys that could even try and attempt to stop him.
And there was big guys during Shaq's era, but no one that could stop
just
him.
Just not as gifted athletically.
No, and that's how Shaq was so good. Shaq was so good because he was so physical, was a bully down in the paint, and more credit like to him. Like he was playing within the rules. He wasn't doing anything wrong. He wasn't Barry Bonds taking PEDs. So this is not taking anything away from Shaq. It's not taking anything away from Duncan. But if I had to go with one dude like that could really stretch across a bunch of different eras, like I'm going Akeem. Like I'm curious to see how Shaq would fare like now. Because he'd be difficult to try to like switch on pick and rolls. He didn't have any sort of face up game or perimeter game.
You can't use your
game.
Hands on him either.
Right. Like, I mean, Shaq would have still been a beast offensively.
No question.
But defensively, I think he would have struggled more now versus then. Whereas, like, Olajuwon, I think you can put him in any era and he would have been just fine.
But also think about this. You could still put Shaq on the free throw line at any time during games.
True.
It's a liability. Whereas Dream made himself an above-average free-throw shooter. He started his career early in his career. He was not a great free-throw shooter. But he made himself into an above-average free-throw shooter who you could count on. But when you come down to touch and you come down to the way – I mean, yesterday was the anniversary of game five against the Spurs. He had 42
– nasty.
9, 8, and 5 blocks. Like, when you start talking about across the board on both ends of the floor, the things that he did to dominate, it was just, like you said, what Charlie said, it was just the ability to have so many different strengths. A lot of guys, for all the strengths, have weaknesses. I mentioned Shaq's shooting and his free throw shooting and some of the things offensively where he didn't have, like, a jump hook or spin moves or a move that could get him a jump shot. He just went and overpowered you and dunked. Duncan was not a physical player. Duncan didn't like guys that played physical with him. Dream could say, you pick it. However you want to play, I can play you and play that game too.
Yeah, yeah, I love Dream. Go Cougs. He comes by and talks to us every now and then whenever he's at the games at Fertitta. He'll come talk to Elvin. He's really nice to me, little radio dude.
Whenever I see him, he's taking pictures with my daughters. His son, who was playing, he comes to our gym out in Sugar Land, and I'll see him and we'll catch up and He's always so genuinely kind and great with his time, but he took pictures with Taylor and said, you know, he was assistant coach for his son's AAU team.
You know how he stays in shape?
I mean, does he work? I mean, he works out in the early mornings at the gym.
Ping pong.
No.
Dead serious. Dead serious.
I wonder if he and Daryl Morey.
He pays hours of ping pong. Dead serious.
Like Daryl Morey is. Do you know that Daryl Morey is like a really competitive ping
pong player?
Does Morey
play like hours of it though? Like Hakeem plays like hours every single day. Like Daryl
put a ping pong table in the players' lounge, and everybody was like, "What the hell's this?"
I love ping pong. We need to bring our ping pong table up here. 713-780 ESPN. Joe says yes. Joe and I got first game. 713-780-377. Yeah, but he got you first. He nodded his head before
you
did.
You guys play.
You get winner. So you and I will be after that. 713-780-3776. You're not very good.
I'm okay.
Have you done pickleball?
I was just going to say, Joe's a pickleball guy.
No, but all I know is if we got a ping pong table, we'd be taking these drinks that JBRM brought us and turning it into beer pong.
What?
Play beer pong with them.
That's not a bad idea.
Exactly.
Joe, you seem like a pickleball player. You should actually look into that.
That seems like a lot of work.
Wow.
I want to play. I need to get onto it. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Texans announced that they're doing joint practices with the Saints and the Dolphins. This is good, right? This is a good thing? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Something else that's a really good thing is a home remodel for a variety of different reasons. One, it makes your life at home easier. It makes you more happy, and it increases your life expectancy. I don't know if that's true, but it will make you happier. It'll make your spouse happier. If you have kids, it'll make them happier. I've been thinking about a remodel for a while. I'm eventually going to get it done probably this summer because this summer is the peak time to do it. And Pinnacle Construction is the name you need to know. Whether you just want something fresh, whether you're just creating a new look, Pinnacle Construction can do it. Anything you can dream, they will do it. Kitchen remodel, bathroom remodel, whatever you can dream of, Pinnacle Construction can do. Flooring to cabinets, new paint job. How about that pool? It gets hot in Houston over the summer. You want a new pool? Call Pinnacle Construction. They're the name you need to know. General contractor with decades of experience that will help with any kind of repair. You've been waiting for the right people. I know that. Someone that you can trust, because we can't trust everybody, not charge you through the roof. Well, that's Pinnacle Construction. Doug Johnson, owner of Pinnacle Construction, native Houstonian serving all of the greater Houston area. Doug and his team do quality work. They do great work. You don't have to worry about them. They're here to stay. They've been here for over two decades. Licensed and insured, stellar customer service for every project and every customer. Get your free estimates for those cabinets, for those pool, for the kitchen remodel. Get your free estimates right now. Qualified Pinnacle Construction Technician. All you have to do is call or text 281-900-3004. Call right now, 281-900-3004, and ask Doug, hey, how much would it cost to get a pool this summer? How much would it cost to get new cabinets? Financing options are available. Ask for the ESPN discount. Head over to 975generalcontractor.com. Pinnacle Construction, born and building in Texas with over 20 years of general contracting experience.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You're hooked up with it.
You hooked up with it. You decided to marry it. I told you I wasn't into it. You said it didn't matter.
Welcome back to the Killer Bees Nuts, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and that Jeremy Branham guy.
Spencer likes that one. It's his go-to. It's the most often used rejoin that he's had. How are we feeling about these rejoins? 713-780.
I like that one.
How is, have you seen reaction on these at all? How's the feedback?
Twitch likes them.
Twitch likes them? Twitch is usually Twitch is usually not a popular opinion. Sorry, Twitchers, but you ain't. You're not.
Yeah, no, is that concerning that the Twitchers like a lot of the stuff?
I'll bite my tongue. I don't want to get Jeremy Booth. Anyways, I'm still Big C noticed that I'm still eating, which I am because this brisket's fantastic, especially the moist kind. We're going to be out there on Friday, our promotions team. We're going to be at JBRM Friday from 1 until 2 o'clock for the El Tigre. Weigh-in, El Tigre Alfonso Lopez, the NABF Bridger Weight Champion of the World. He fights in Galveston on June 3rd at the Galveston Island Convention Center. But his weigh-in is Friday at JBRM. So leave work early. Go have lunch at JBRM. You won't be disappointed. And watch the weigh-in. Weigh-ins are usually pretty interesting. And also the promotion team will be there as well, giving away some free stuff. So make sure you head out to JBRM. OTAs are going on. They were going on earlier this morning for the Houston Texans. I hope we get the 11 observations from Texans OTAs. I miss those. I want to see those. That's how I know football season is here. How seriously do you take OTAs? What matters to you with OTAs?
What matters to me is that it shouldn't be anything that the media should be focused on and make a big deal. What matters to me is guys stay healthy and they start getting into learning the system on both sides of the football, depending on what position you play, and the coaching staff and the terminology, so that you're up to speed and you're ready to go by the time training camp starts. And I think that other than that, stay healthy, either get or keep continuing to get into good shape. And then the most important thing, especially when you have a new coaching staff and new system, is to start getting familiar with it as quickly as possible.
Yeah, I think that OTAs are incredibly valuable. Like, I think they matter a lot. Like,
tell Aaron Rodgers that.
Aaron Rodgers is a little different.
Like, you don't have to tell me that.
I mean, he's Aaron Rodgers. Like, he doesn't need OTAs. But if you're a young team, well, he won an MVP when he didn't go to OTAs that one year.
It doesn't matter when you get new receivers and you get new players on the offensive side of the football and you elect to say you don't need to be there, but then you don't have timing with them in the first couple games of the season because you also don't play in the preseason, then it's a bigger problem.
I get the, like, to be familiar and comfortable, but like, if you're Aaron Rodgers, you can step in week one and be good. Like,
well, you know the system and you know the play, sure.
He won the MVP the year that he didn't go to OTAs.
He didn't go the year at OTAs for like 10 years.
Did you read that article in The Athletic?
I started it.
That's one of the best articles I've seen written in The Athletic.
I got to finish it.
It's really good. I kind of like Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
I kind of like Aaron Rodgers. They wouldn't fire Gutekunst or whatever you say his name.
Gutekunst
not going to work here anymore. Actually, he is because they picked him over Aaron Rodgers.
Stupid.
How do you pick that guy over Aaron Rodgers?
Look, it's been my point of contention for the longest of times in the fact that you took a guy that was basically like Gerson Rosas was to Daryl Morey, and then you found out that he was to Ted Thompson when Ted Thompson was a guru of general managers. And then suddenly they just, you know, Ted stepped aside and they gave it to Gutekunst. And the fact is he wasn't Ted Thompson. But then he had the ego to basically go one-on-one with the best player possibly in franchise history and think that he was going to win and that he was smarter than the guy that was out there winning MVPs and doing the things. I've said I don't care for Aaron Rodgers off the field, his antics a lot. But I knew that he made my football team one of the better football teams in the league when he played.
He had a lot of good quotes about Gutekunst, whatever.
Remember at one point he compared him when The Last Dance was out to Jerry Krause.
Yeah.
And this kind of really accentuates it by saying, I don't talk to people I don't like.
So are you Team Rodgers or Team Gutekunst?
In those situations, I don't like the way it ended, and I think it was a little bit more on Aaron. But I think over the course of time, the way they drafted Love, traded up to get him, and the way that they handled him, everything was handled, I was Team Rodgers and not Team Gutekunst, and I've been that way for a long time.
There was a story where Rodgers, I guess, lives like in Cali, mm-hmm. and Gutekunst was there for like Senior Bowl or one of those, you know, college bowls at the end of the year, mm-hmm. and apparently, like, Gutekunst was trying to like meet up with him and like, I guess, try to like make allies or whatever, and so I guess he like texted him, and Rodgers like didn't respond to him the next day, and like Gutekunst got like mad and like, oh no, I'm not here anymore. And then Rodgers said, did Brian text me more than I texted him? Yeah, but did I ghost him? No, I texted him back. There was back and forth that we had. So this is the story you want to go with. You're going to stand on this hill, blah 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 blah. He talked about he only talked to guys that he likes talking
to. That's what I was saying.
And Gutekunst wasn't one of the guys he liked to talk to.
And like I said, he made analogies to the way Jordan didn't like Jerry Krause. And I think he called him crackers or whatever.
He called him crumbs.
Crumbs. And I think that Rodgers called Gutekunst crumbs as well because he made the analogy between the two of them. And he did not like Brian Gutekunst, nor should he when, you know, the story in the article, which has been said before, was he was ready to do the McAfee show one day, and they were ready to talk about the fact that they were either going to add a good defensive player or they were going to add a receiver. And then all of a sudden, his agent starts texting him quarterback, and he's like, what? And he's like, they're taking quarterback, and then all hell broke loose.
He said, Rodgers said in this piece that he made himself a tequila and waited for somebody to call him. That's how he canceled off McAfee. Oh, Rodgers is hilarious. 0066 says, you guys be the judge of this. Did he just land on Bad Take Boulevard? 0066. Does he make tomorrow's list of Bad Take Boulevard? You can let us know, Tay, our producer, the Killer Bees. Just a crazy take, but I believe Houston will have three playoff teams this year. Rockets getting squeezed in, Texans wild card to get blown out in Astros ALCS. Does that land on Bad Take Boulevard from 0066?
That's a mansion.
Three Houston Houston, the three majors, are going to make the playoffs.
I encourage you
that on the
to
list?
Go try and
did he make the list?
Play that at a casino. Just go ahead and
it's not a bad bet because you're getting some value there. I don't know if you can parlay all three, but that
not
would
value
be interesting
if you don't
numbers.
Win the bet.
You're right, but I mean, throw down $10 for Astros playoffs, Texans playoffs, Rockets playoffs. That's not awful. I bet you Texans to make the playoffs are probably
plus.
And it's probably not that big because seven teams make the playoffs. I would say, what are the Texans to make the playoffs? 713-780-3776. I would say like 350.
I was going to say minus 350. Yep.
No, plus. And then Rockets.
Oh, I mean, plus, right.
Rockets are probably, man, there's a lot of playoff. It depends on the offseason, but right now. It's probably the same. It's probably around plus 350, plus 400, right? Like, who has a better chance to make the playoffs, Texans or Rockets?
Texans.
See, I think it's Rockets.
Currently, right now, I think
yeah,
it's Texans.
Yeah, but Vegas prices in
well,
kind
but
of
you don't count the playoff. I mean, the play-in as the playoffs. You have to be the 8 seed.
That's a fascinating question. Who has a better chance to make the playoffs, the Texans or the Rockets? 713-780-3776. Because Vegas will price in what they project the offseason moves to be. Like when the Jets signed Rodgers, like they got a boost there, but they were already pricing in Rodgers to the Jets. So I bet you that Vegas is already pricing in the Rockets having an offseason where they add a significant player, whether it's Harden, whether it's Brown. Like that's probably already priced in. I'm curious. What do you think, Joe? Who has a better chance to make the playoffs this upcoming season? The Rockets, not counting play-in. You have to win through the play-in to make the actual
gotta
playoffs.
Be the 18.
Or the Texans.
The Rockets, for sure.
For sure? You
for
say that
sure?
with such conviction.
Oh, I don't think it's even close.
Because are you banking on Harden?
Honestly, well, yeah.
Or a player, or a good player.
They have $60 million. They're going to spend it. And when you look at the West right now, the West isn't that good. Honestly, top to bottom. Like, what are the Warriors going to be?
Better than the Rockets.
What are the Lakers going to be?
Better than the Rockets.
But, like, these guys, like, that's two teams right there that, yes, better than the Rockets, but are based solely off, like,
Dallas,
all the injury history.
Than the Rockets.
Dallas,
is Dallas?
I don't know.
What's
doubt?
Like, they got money and they still got Luka.
They don't have money. They're
yes,
screwed.
They do. No, because Kyrie walks and they got money.
I think they're at the luxury tax.
Not
if Kyrie
walks. Kyrie. They got to protect. He's on their cap for right now.
But like, what are they going to get? Like Zach trade for Zach LaVine and put him with Luka?
Better than the Rockets.
It is, but like they're not. Look, they were the one of the worst teams in the NBA last year defensively.
But we're looking at teams you're relative
about
to the Rockets.
Clippers.
I'm not saying that they're not relative to the Rockets better, but like the Rockets, the West is weak.
Pelicans better than the Rockets.
I just like all the teams that you listed that are clearly better than the Rockets.
I don't think they are clearly that better than the Rockets. Like you're banking on Draymond, Clay, and Steph all being there next year for the Warriors.
No,
it doesn't matter.
I don't need all of them to be there.
And if they go, you got money to add other players.
But what if? But see, the thing is, you guys keep saying they all have money to add other players.
I didn't say that once.
But like, it's come up three times. Like, not everyone can add players. But
okay.
Pelicans
Curry,
are,
the Warriors don't need to do anything. Like, they're better within the Rockets with Curry and Thompson and, like, adding veteran minimum guys.
Joe.
Are
they better than the Mavericks?
The Rockets?
Yeah.
Right now, no.
Okay. Are they better than the Blazers?
Yes.
No, they're not.
If they get James Harden,
I think
yes.
they could be better than the Blazers.
If they
not
get James
with,
Harden,
not with
yes.
Dame and the way that they developed their young guys last year.
I think that's
things they did.
That's a
okay,
toss
and the reason
up.
Why
that's
I asked that first
I mean,
is,
they have a top three pick this year, too. So like,
yeah,
it's,
that's a toss up.
The reason why I asked that, though, is because both those teams did not make the playoffs in the West. So now I'm already talking about two. I'm comparing them to two teams that weren't even playoff teams.
Dallas wasn't a playoff team.
That's what I'm saying. Dallas and
Portland
were not.
I'm not saying that the Rockets, like, it's. You asked the question, is it more like the Rockets or the Texans? The easy answer and the right answer is the Rockets.
I just don't like your argument for the
because
Rockets.
Because you can. No, because you can make an argument that, like, all these teams, like, there's injuries with, like, the Pelicans, the Sacramento Kings, are they for real? What are the Phoenix Suns going to be with firing Monty Williams? Like, there's just more parity in
but
the
that's
NBA.
Why I asked you the question. I took the two teams that did not make the playoffs in the West. And if there's any debate
okay,
at all.
How else am I supposed to answer the question?
I disagree with that. I don't think there's more parity in the NBA.
But how else
I think
am
the
I
NFL has far
like,
more parity.
So you think it's more likely the Texans are going to make the playoffs than
I don't
the
know.
Rockets?
I'm torn.
I don't think there's any chance the Texans make the playoffs.
I think they could. Well, I mean,
any
I homer had in my way to nine wins, baby.
C.J. Stroud's the 15th best quarterback in the conference pretty much.
But their division sucks.
So you have to win the division.
Maybe.
I think that's the only way they have a shot.
But that's what I'm saying. You can't say they don't have a shot because they could win the division and get in.
They could win the division with nine wins.
I just like, don't. I don't view Jacksonville as beatable.
Like, I really don't either.
So like that's where it's. You could say like yeah, they only have to win the division, but they're not going to be better than the Dolphins, than the Jets, than the Bills, than the Ravens, than the Bengals, than the Browns.
Can I say neither?
Yeah, I mean, the answer is neither, but that wasn't the question.
Yeah, it's not. Because, look, here's why I was doing what
I'll
I was
go,
doing.
I'll go Rockets, too.
Because you got to get to the 8 seed to be a playoff team, all right? I said the two teams that didn't even get in. Of the playoff teams, they're not better than the Lakers, they're not better than the Timberwolves, they're not better than the Pelicans, and they're not better than the Thunder, Okay? So now
you don't think that with James Harden they'd be better than the Timberwolves?
I think they could be better than the Wolves and the Thunder.
I don't. With Anthony Edwards and Kat and Rudy Gobert.
I mean, Kat's maybe the most overrated player in the NBA.
Anthony Edwards is really good.
He is, but that team's a disaster. Like the Rockets, the Pelicans are based all on injury. The Thunder, yes, cute story, two games under 500. Their best player is still Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and a bunch of puppies. Like,
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander right now is better than James Harden.
Maybe. I mean,
he's first team all NBA.
I guess, but like I don't view him that way. Like, I would put James Harden in front of him.
He says this is the wheelhouse. We're talking more about the Rockets than we are the Texans.
About basketball. Okay,
it's a good question.
But I just don't think there's any path. Like, there is a path clearly for the Rockets.
Yeah, I think so too.
To
I'm on the
be
Rockets.
A top eight team, and really,
I don't see it.
You have to be a top six team if you're not counting playing.
But do you see it with the Texans?
I see the Texans have it. Like, they could win their division. Their division's so bad. But
it's not.
But when I look at the
I think the South is a little underrated myself.
I look at the top, in my mind, the top 12 teams, and I'm eliminating Utah, though Utah had a better season than I thought they would. But I'm taking the 12 teams in the West and saying, I don't think the Rockets are better than any one of those 12 teams.
Yeah, but that's not the conversation. The conversation is...
It is if you want to make the playoffs.
Okay, so let's really go through this real quick.
Can we do it? Well, I can do it on another side.
The Memphis Grizzlies, their best player is going to miss probably 40 games next year. Now, they play better without Ja, but that was this last year. The Sacramento Kings, are they for real?
Yeah.
The Phoenix Suns are going to lose their best player. They just fired their coach. There are two players besides
that. Their best player is Kevin Durant. He ain't going anywhere. And Devin Booker. Those guys aren't going anywhere.
But, like, okay, they're going to lose Chris Paul. But, well, Kevin Durant, he's never healthy. Like, you're going to bet on Kawhi Leonard for the Clippers? Draymond and Klay both could be
still
gone.
Still Paul George, still got talent.
I agree, but, like, if Kawhi's out for the whole season, like, what are they? Like, you're telling me, like, none of these
Why
teams...
Why is Kawhi going to be out for the whole season?
Because he's always out. Oh. I mean, when is he ever healthy? That guy's been hiding behind doctors for 5 years.
Well, I don't disagree
longer.
With the fact that he's...
I think it's like 10 years.
Who are you talking about? Lance?
Kawhi.
Oh.
Kawhi is soft.
But, like, I just...
Lance is not?
Lance Zerline? Oh, Lance McCullers.
There's no way... I don't see any path for the Texans to make the playoffs this year. Because they're not going to win the division.
I see more of a path for the Rockets than I do the Texans.
Yeah.
I'm on George's side here. 713-780-ESPN. Go debate your, stepdad? 713-780-3776, the HRNP listener line. All right, WTF Wednesday. We got some doozies lined up for you. You don't want to miss this. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You've chosen wisely.
I have chosen to test this station's destructive power on your home planet of Alderaan.
Anyone can have a hot take on sports.
You're going to continue to be a bunch of soft, underperforming, tattooed millionaires?
But that's not what these guys are about. Joel and Jeremy are real, actual human beings. Guys that have lives, families, and feelings and stuff. So it's WTF Wednesday.
WTF, why the phase?
Where these guys let you in on their non-sports interests, goals, and dare I say it, dreams. But more than likely, they're going with all of the WTF moments of the past week. It's WTF Wednesday.
Why the phase?
With the Killer Bees.
Why the phase Wednesday? I don't have many feelings. What we got for us today, Joe George? What are we leading?
Case Keenum.
I do have feelings for Case Keenum. Yeah. Strong feelings.
Yeah,
for Case
strong.
Keenum. Go Cougs.
We were talking about bad umpires.
Nice shirt today, Joe.
Thanks. We're talking about bad umpires and refs earlier. So did you guys see this Eric Lewis story?
I did. Yes.
So Eric Lewis, NBA ref, got caught having a burner account.
What's the worst thing that he said?
I don't think he said anything like bad.
He defended referees. He defended himself.
Yeah.
Why is that?
He essentially did what Kevin Durant always did with his burner. But the fact is that the referees have it in their contracts that they can't be outspoken. And if he gets caught with his burner account, and they can tie it to him directly. And it's going to be tough to prove that he actually... He'll say someone was watching my account or running my account or whatever.
I don't think it'll be tough to prove at all.
But I think that, you know, he basically stuck up for officials when they were getting killed on certain plays in certain games, and including himself.
I don't see the problem here. How many burners do you have, Joe?
Zero.
How many burners do you have, Blinkers?
Zero.
Did you hear whenever Paul George asked Jalen Green how many burners he had, and he said he had a couple?
Yeah.
What? he just casually dropped that in there. I was like,
I think that's very normal in the NBA today.
Why?
Because I think it's people, like, they don't want to get into fights publicly on their own account with
don't
Rocket fans.
Don't get into
fans.
Fights at all with Rocket fans. You're a multi-millionaire basketball player.
Come on, dude. You know the word. You love it.
Soft?
Soft.
You think Jalen Green's soft?
I think all NBA players are soft.
All of them.
All of them?
90%.
You think Jimmy Butler's soft?
90%. He's the part of the 10 that's not.
Okay.
Like LeBron has burners. KD has burners. So why shouldn't Jalen Green have burners?
Is it known that LeBron has burners?
It's so obvious.
Does he read what's on those burners?
I don't know. I mean, he says he reads books, but we know he doesn't really actually do that either.
He doesn't read the books. He says he does.
He just opens the first page and says he's reading it.
You can have someone read the books. It's like you can have someone send the tweets for you.
This is his account because like they proved it. It's based off because you can...
As long as he's not being mean to players, I have no problem with him having a burner, defending him.
It's just embarrassing.
Go for it. It's fine. No big deal at all.
I don't get the need for it.
I think it is embarrassing.
But you can find out when someone has a burner because you can connect.
I don't think Eric Luce is going to get fired, but I think if they prove it, he'll get suspended.
Oh, I hope he doesn't get fired.
He shouldn't be fired for this, unless he's being like derogatory towards players. At which point, fire him.
I think because of the content of the burner tweets that were just defending officials and or calls.
Yeah, it's fine.
I think that he'll get a slap on the wrist. I think that's fair. I don't think he should be fired. He's one of the most highly respected, highly rated officials in the game.
Yeah, he's like Jerry Lane. All right, what we got?
So apparently this golfer
in
the NCAA tournament, he had to withdraw because a tee went through his shoe and into his foot.
It impaled his foot.
That's not
he
great.
Had to get on, he had, I did see this. How did that happen? He had to use
through
crutches.
The bottom?
I have no idea, man. Like, what kind of
tee? It's a tee versus a golf shoe?
It's got to be at the bottom.
It's got to be at the bottom.
Like, he stepped on it, and it was sitting up or something, and went through the sole of the shoe?
It's got to be it. Because I was thinking that, for some reason, he hit his tee shot, it popped into the air, and then, like pierced him that way. There's no way it could be that way.
Because if you think about it,
stepped on it.
The way golf shoes have kind of gotten more modernized, they got rid of the steel spikes, they got rid of the hard sole bottoms, and they got more into, like, that Skechers, really soft, cushy kind of midsole, and then they put some either turf pebbles or they put some, what do you call it?
No idea, man.
The spikes, the soft spikes.
It sounds like you watched Air.
No, you know instead of metal spikes, you know the soft spike, the soft spikes that you can screw in?
Yeah.
So I think in between the soft spikes, it's just that cushy, sketchery kind of sole, and I think a tee could go through that.
It had to have been stepped on, because like I didn't think about that when I first saw the story. I thought it just popped into the air and then like fell through his foot,
right?
Which like there's no way that's going to happen. So it would make sense if he stepped on it.
Yeah.
Queen Bee, who is our resident golfer of the show, she says, "What kind of cheap sole? It had to be an incredibly cheap sole." But he went to Oregon, so you know that they're Nikes. Like they had Nikes.
That's true.
Maybe they might be Jordans.
But, you know, like Skechers and FootJoy.
I guess those are different.
They make those like
they make Jordan golf shoes.
No, but there's Jordan.
A lot of them. They're very popular.
But Nike brand versus Jordan brand schools are
separate. Oh yeah, Oregon has to use Nike.
Yeah,
they use Phil Knight's Nike. What cheap shoes though? That's right. Like,
well, Skechers makes golf shoes.
No idea.
Skechers make they make golf shoes.
I believe
that again has that kind of foam posits bottom that a tee could go through.
He's not wearing those at Oregon. He's wearing Nikes at Oregon.
Yeah, I don't know. All the different variations of Nike golf.
He stepped on a tee and it went through his foot and impaled him. Like, I can't believe that. How does he not finish the round? How does he pull out of NCAA championships?
Well, was you know he what in he contention? Is?
He's soft.
Was he in contention?
I don't know. I have no idea. I don't really keep up with college golf a whole lot. Although I love
Florida won it?
I don't know.
I thought I saw some tweets.
How would
that Florida
I know
won
that?
It.
Google it. NCAA D1 golf champions. I'm not an encyclopedia of knowledge here, Blankers.
I know that.
All right, what's our last one? But you're always asking me questions.
It's just in conversation. If we had the story, Joe brought up the story, it might say Oregon was finished whatever, and so-and-so won it.
We're not into journalism.
I just see this like
we're here for entertainment.
I see this like thoughts and prayers, basically, tweet from the Oregon golf account.
I hope that he's
thinking of our golfer today.
He stepped on a tee.
Is he
going
to lose a foot?
He stepped on a tee.
He's going to be okay, guys.
They like act like he's dead. He stepped on a golf tee.
Apparently, we talked about something very similar to this a couple weeks ago. But apparently, it's just, you know, a thing that when you're a celebrity, age don't matter.
What was that movie they were both in recently on Netflix?
Who, Al Pacino and...
Yeah. Al Pacino and the other...
Irishman?
And De Niro.
Irishman?
Irishman, that's right. It was like a 3.5 hour long Netflix movie.
It's so long.
So long. I watched it on a 3.5 hour plane ride once.
It took me like 3 days to watch
it. It's okay.
Yeah, I think to me, because I think there's some gangster movies or some of the best movies of all time, Departed.
Yeah.
Like that movie is a huge disappointment.
Irishman, I didn't think it was a disappointment.
It just needed to be made like 20 years ago.
Well, to me, it was kind of like, I thought it was symbolic of like old gang members being like one final gang ride. Like, I thought it was symbolic.
Yeah, but Al Pacino, 82 years old, expecting his fourth child with his 29-year-old girlfriend.
That's
Wait, what's the age difference?
It's a lot of things.
82 to 29.
Oh, boy.
Math here.
Calculator.
2 minus 29.
How old is his oldest kid, I wonder?
My
I want to know what how long. Gap. I want to know how long or how old Al Pacino's oldest kid
so,
is.
So the age gap between Al Pacino and his girlfriend is Joel Blank.
That's old.
You're an ass.
What?
Which one? Are you not 53? Joe or I?
Are you not 53?
You're an ass. But I heard, did I hear the bench trying to figure this out? Because there's different images. Did we do this too?
It was with De Niro.
We did this with De Niro like 2 weeks ago.
All of these Irishmen are like having young wives and having kids in their 80s.
I have so many questions.
We'll start with one.
Why? If you're the 29-year-old.
Well, if you're the 29-year-old, probably because you're going to be set for life.
Yeah, that's why. But... Anna Nicole Smith, hello.
Big time. There you go. It's pretty that's much. Why. It's what else pretty you much. It's us? Pretty much life
it's
security.
Gross. It's just gross. Man.
So Al Pacino's oldest kid is 33 years old.
So his oldest kid is older than his girlfriend.
Yeah, by what 3 years? You said she was 29.
Yeah, 4 years.
4 years.
Math.
So I wonder if this 33-year-old has kids, because if he does, this 33-year-old son or daughter of Al Pacino, if they have kids, Al Pacino is going to have children older than his grandchildren or younger than his grandchildren.
Yep.
That's
good.
That's
not
weird.
A good look. It's weird.
That's super weird. When you have, that's a problem in life. Whenever you have kids that are younger than your grandchildren, you probably should reevaluate some things.
You think
should
that,
you? You're 82 years old.
You think when those two guys are like reliving their?
No, you're reevaluating life. You have a 29-year-old girlfriend.
You think
you're
he has?
Great.
You think he has regrets, or you think he's living great? You think he's regrets living great?
He's great.
If he's spraying bullets at 82, and I'm sure he has zero concern for or the chance that anything could actually happen when doing so.
Yeah, what's going to happen? Like, you're going to die before the kid gets in kindergarten? Like,
he's not going to be able to play. He's not going to be able to have a catch with his kid.
So.
God, there's a joke in there too that. Someone that you guys both know used to say
have a
but
catch.
You don't have to be a math major, but if 80 how old is she?
29.
You don't have to be a math major to know if 82 goes into 29, you're winning. There's no doubt about it.
I mean, and it does break the goal. What's the golden rule?
It's, I don't want to have kids when I'm 82.
It's your age minus
you can afford it.
15 years plus 7. Is that what it is?
I have no idea.
That's like your dating range.
I don't want to have kids at 42.
He'll hire
much
a
less
nanny.
At 82. Yeah, he's
hire a nanny and just have the kid. He'll burp the kid, have the kid on his lap every now and then, maybe take the kid for a walk, but all the tough stuff's going to be done by somebody else.
You're right. That's true. Risk, my grandfather had 5 kids after me with different women. I have half uncles and aunts younger than me. That's weird. 713-780-ESPN. CJ Stroud, defensive coordinator for the Texans, Matt Burke. Is he calling plays? Is he not calling plays? Who knows? But CJ Stroud had a question to Matt Burke today at OTAs. I'm curious if you guys think this is a negative or a positive. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 in the studio with the candlestick.
Flames on the side of my face, breathing, breathless, heaving.
Killer Bees. What about the murderous Jays? We've got Joel, Jeremy, and Joe. That's 3 Jays. And we all love Bees and Jays. Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5. It's the Killer Bees and Murderous Jays.
What song is that?
It's Kesha, I think.
It's right. TikTok.
Yeah. That's right.
Kesha.
That's right.
You're welcome. Oh, and who's old, Joe? Kiss my ass.
Congratulations, you know Kesha songs.
A lot of songs, Jeremy.
Someone texted in, they're both going to need a nanny. Talking about Al Pacino and Al Pacino.
Good call. Very good call.
Oh,
some
man.
Some might call it a live-in nurse in his regard, but yeah.
6347, not sure if you guys can comment. The new promos and voice are awesome, says 6347. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780.
They're funny.
3776. Is this a positive or a negative? Matt Burke, Texans defensive coordinator, which he doesn't know if they're calling plays or not yet.
Why don't we decide that already?
Cross the bridge when it gets here.
I don't know how D'Amico wants to give that up.
I don't care that they don't know yet. I'll say that. Like, that's something that needs to be determined. You know what? I might hedge on this a bit. Because if you're going to be a defensive play caller, I bet you they do know, but they're not announcing it. Because you should have... Like right now in May, in June, Like, aren't you trying to get ahead of the game a little bit? Like, going back and watching some offenses, teams that you're going to play, play callers that you're going to play, and start to have a little bit of an idea of how you want to attack it? Like, I think that if you're not doing that over the summer, you're actually starting behind. So I'm hoping that they know who's calling plays, but they just aren't announcing it yet as a way to have a little bit of gamesmanship. I hope that's what the case is.
Yeah, the only thing that I would say is you don't want a Nathaniel Hackett situation, and if DeMeco is concerned about all the other things that he has to be responsible for as a head coach, that maybe that's why he shouldn't be calling plays. I understand it. But other than that, I think that we know that his strength and his skill set in terms of has always been defense. And he was the defensive coordinator for a really good defense with the Niners. And I would just think that if he wants to get off on the right foot defensively, he would be the guy calling the plays on the defensive side. And the only thing that I could see get in the way of that is head coaching, you know, responsibilities.
I don't care who's calling the plays. I really don't. Like, I prefer that DeMeco calls plays, but if it's Matt Burke, cool. Like, DeMeco Ryan, CEO, head coach, you're involved in the week, but you're not calling plays on game day. Hey, if that's what DeMeco Ryans wants to do, that's what DeMeco Ryans wants to do in year one.
But also, Jeremy, you got to think about this. Think about all the different guys, especially offensive-minded guys, that gave the play calling to someone, Bill O'Brien and others included. Uh-huh. But at certain points in the game, they retook over the play calling duties if they so desired. And I think you could see that happen where you're right. To a certain degree, DeMeco might give it over to Burke, but there also might be times when DeMeco tells Burke, hey, I got this series. Because he's got a hunch or he sees something or he wants to do something.
Yeah. See, look.
Andy Reid did it forever in Kansas City.
I prefer DeMeco does it. I don't care if Burke does it. I have a problem, though, if they don't right now actually have a plan. And I don't care that they don't leak it to the media. I don't care about that. But if right now neither one of them, like DeMeco probably knows, but if Matt Burke is calling plays and DeMeco hasn't told Matt Burke he's calling defensive plays, the Texans are failing. Like, because you need to have a game plan going into the season. You need to be watching film in June and July on what stops certain offenses and try to get an idea of what the personnel you have of what you're going to do. And if you're going to go into the season calling plays and you don't know right now, That's an issue.
More important than that, too, is the communication. You guys, you're not trying to compete with one another. You're on the same team. You should be in coaches' meetings right now talking about what you're going to do, how you're going to do it, who's going to do it. And you're right, you don't have to tell the media, and it's none of anybody's business. Yeah. But
and I think it's smart.
Within the coaches' room, they damn well better know exactly how it's going down.
And I also think it's smart because, like, okay, what's the gamesmanship behind not allowing people to know who's calling the plays? Well, other teams are going to be trying to get advanced scouting on you, too. And if they don't know that it's Matt Burke, and I'm sure that they'll watch a lot of DeMeco stuff, but if it's all of a sudden Matt Burke calling plays,
they need tendencies like, that they're not going to be there.
Yeah, the tendencies change a little bit. So, like, I understand not announcing it, but they need to know within the walls of NRG. Absolutely. Aaron Wilson, who cites people, doesn't cite people, I'm not sure. But defensive coordinator Matt Burke was talking to the media today, the collective media of Houston. Said that rookie C.J. Stroud came up to him after practice when he didn't recognize a coverage to adapt to what the defense threw at him. He says he's very intentional about learning defensive coverages. I respect that about him. Negative or positive, C.J. Stroud doesn't recognize a defense.
Look, I don't think it's a negative. I think it's a positive that he actually was able to admit he didn't recognize a defense and go get help so that next time he will recognize a defense. I think the problem you have is a lot of guys' egos won't let them admit that what they don't know. And then when it comes up in a game, it becomes a bigger problem, or it comes up in a more important situation. I'll say it's a positive that he didn't know and he went and got help.
Yeah, for me, it's a positive. To me, it depends on where you're at in your career, not being able to recognize defenses. I don't think that a rookie walking in day one is going to recognize everything that he sees, or, you know, a lot of times you see decoy defenses, you see safeties in the box, and they sprint back into a cover two, you know, et cetera, et cetera. They're more complex. They're gonna throw the kitchen sink at you in the NFL. To me, it depends on where you're at in your career. Like, I have no problem with C.J. Stroud not able to recognize a certain thing that he's seeing one of, like, the first few days that he's been in an NFL jersey. He's not supposed to. There's going to be times in week 17 where he doesn't recognize a defense. There's going to be times in year 3 where he doesn't recognize a defense. I think some people are going to see this and be like, S2, Ohio State quarterback, can't read a defense. To me, this is encouraging. I agree with Matthew Burke that it is a positive. You want your rookies just being a sponge and just like accepting any and all kind of information that's presented to you. And he's going out of his way to ask the defensive coordinator questions.
See, that's the thing that you like, because he's going to be a student of the game. He's going to be a stickler to be an attention to detail guy, and he wants to understand. He wants to have a full grasp and concept of the position. That's what you're looking for in a quarterback, not the stubborn, egotistical guy that thinks he knows everything, that doesn't want any help, and then when he gets into a game situation, it pops up, and he's really looking stupid because he probably turns the ball over or your team takes significant loss. It's like the old story where Favre and Ty Detmer were watching game film, and they kept talking about the nickel, and then they started talking about the dime packages. And Favre finally just looked over at Detmer and goes, "Hey, man, what's that mean when he's talking about a nickel and a dime? It's like someone trying to make change." And he's like, "You don't know what that is?" And Brett's like, "No, man." And he goes, "Well, it's when you add an extra fifth defensive back." And he goes, "That's it?" And he had no concept, no clue, but he just was able to play at a certain level that was better than everybody else.
Brett Favre also led everybody in the existence of the world in interceptions.
He did.
So I
witnessed almost all of them.
Like, I think that's kind of synonymous. Brett Favre, but not a lot of reading it was defenses, because he's a throwing gunslinger. Tons of picks.
He was trying to make every play heroic. You know, he played playground football. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. I do think that this could be a negative, not with C.J. Stroud and not anytime soon. But let's say this was like Kirk Cousins. Like, and Kirk Cousins is coming to you. I don't know what year this is for Kirk Cousins, probably 7 or 8. And Kirk Cousins is coming up to you. "Oh, I've never seen that defense in my life. Can you explain that to me?" I think that that's whenever it can be a negative, is that you have a veteran quarterback that's been in the NFL for a very long time that doesn't read it. So I think this quote can be negative, but it depends on where a quarterback is in the stage of their career. And for a dude who's not played in one NFL game over the course of his entire life, there's no way this is anywhere close to a negative.
No, but I also think in Cousins' example that you're never too old to learn. So, fair. You know, so maybe at a certain point when you were young and dumb and thought you knew everything, it's different now where you're trying to make a difference. You're playing for another contract, and maybe you too can learn, even no matter at whatever advanced age you are.
I'm pro information. Shut up, Joe. You can never stop learning. Was there? Oh, yeah. He's old. 713-780-ESPN. HRMP listener line. 713-780.
Go play pickleball.
3776. Monday was the, he's never played.
That's what I'm saying. Go pick it up. You got a producer in waiting that's been filling in for you. You'll be fine.
She's there more than he is.
I agree.
I'm teaching the interns.
Which one?
My daughter's an intern?
No, the real ones.
If you catch Twitch, her face is in the producer's window more than yours.
That's not true.
Jake Mariznick hit a home run against the Texas Rangers. I love Jake. Monday was the anniversary, Asmund. Monday was the anniversary of the Stockton shot that eliminated the Rockets. What was your toughest loss to endure in all of your years of being a sports fan? I hate this topic. 713-780-ESPN. The most heartbreaking loss that you've ever experienced as a sports fan. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Dude, totally.